Rod's Pulse Podcast Number 40. Mobile Phones for E-Learning and Emergency Broadcasts.
This is Rod's Pulse Podcast, the podcast for faculty and students interested in learning how to use and create podcasts and other e-learning technologies. Welcome back.
Well, that was a little teaser. That's Concerto No. 4 in G minor from The Four Seasons by Vivaldi. That's the winter concerto, and I guess I'm a little late on that, but you'd never know it by the weather we've been having lately here in the Northeast. I also picked that music. It's a little bit more subdued than some of my recent selections, and I think I'm doing that in honor of the tragedy that happened at Virginia Tech earlier this week. And in fact, I had something else planned for today's episode, but because of the events on Monday, I decided to change my focus and instead focus on using mobile phones here in higher education, using mobile phones for e-learning plus emergency broadcasts. Cell phones are getting smarter and smarter. They're joining the ranks of some of the so-called super phones or PDA phones, such as the BlackBerry or the Treo. I guess you could say they're joining the Web 2.0 framework. In fact, they're being used more and more in education. Just to give you an idea of some of the trends, Google is about to release a mobile browser. It seems like every episode I mention Google, but they're the powers that be these days. Google and LG, that's the Korean electronics conglomerate, used to be known as Lucky Gold Star. LG and Google are getting together, and LG is going to pre-install Google Maps, Gmail, and Blogger on a wide variety of LG phones. So phones are getting more and more Web 2.0-like. They're increasing their functionality. I happened to look at a report I found on the web called the Horizon Report. This is a collaboration between NMC, which stands for New Media Consortium, and EDUCAUSE, and the EDUCAUSE Learning Initiative. And they do research to help to identify and describe emerging technologies likely to have a large impact on teaching, learning, or the creative expression, within higher education. And they say that the mobile phone has a 2 to 3 year horizon to adoption, time to adoption. Now, what do they mean by adoption? They predict that in the next 2 years, mobile phones will be an accepted tool on campus and, as desirable and common as personal computers. Most phones sold now have some form of multimedia. They have cameras, they have recorders, some of them even have FM radios built into them, and GPS capabilities. In the not-too-distant future, phones will have a projection system, and that will remove the barrier of having such a small screen. And it's already possible, for example, to attach a small device to your phone that projects a full-size QWERTY keyboard onto the tabletop and allows you to tap on it, and you hear the clicking sound, and you can do data entry through a small device. The Horizon Report goes on to mention a number of phone applications that are cross-discipline. They could offer self-paced audio and video tours. We're already seeing this with podcasting and even video podcasting. deliver campus-based services, including emergency updates, which we'll be talking a lot more about shortly. And, you know, where campus information can be delivered quickly and easily. They mentioned Montclair State University. All entering students are now required to own a mobile phone that is GPS and web-enabled. And, of course, these new mobile phones can encourage creativity and media making. Students can explore new techniques of creating art and social commentary. At Rowan University, students complete an assignment using both a camera of their choice and a mobile phone camera. Students experiment with the technical and conceptual possibilities and the limitations presented with each device within the medium of photography. Other examples of mobile phone use include citizen journalism, using cell phones as media outlets. A project at Hamilton College explored the use of rhetorical techniques through cell phone video messages. This Horizon report mentions Apple and their breakthrough product that's due to appear in June, the iPhone, which is a device that has a interactive touchscreen that combines the functions of an iPod, a phone, a web browser, and of course a messaging device. I've already mentioned pocket projectors that would improve the screen resolution. There are many companies that offer bus schedules, safety information, and other educational services for students. And in fact, even MIT is offering programming on phones, since phones are the most widely available platform in some parts of the world. So it's no doubt that phones are becoming more and more important on campus and for educational purposes. What I really want to focus on in this episode is SMS, or the short messaging system technology. It's something that's already in place on most cell phones these days. It's much more popular in Europe. If you want to see a full explanation, I have a link in my show notes to the Wikipedia article on SMS. Basically, it allows the sending of short text messages. 160 characters or less is usually the limit. This can be used to supplement instant messaging, for example. If you have a teenager like I do at home, you know they are on IM all the time, and when they're away from their computer, they can even have their AOL instant messages forwarded to an SMS message that appears on their telephone. Of course, you can do direct telephone-to-telephone SMS messaging. Software that enables that sort of translation between instant messaging and SMS are called SMS gateways, and they enable desktop computers and even landline telephones through a speech synthesis to be connected to text messaging. As you can imagine, the most common application is person-to-person messaging, but text messages are often used to interact with automated systems, such as ordering products and services for mobile phones, participating in contests. If you've ever watched American Idol, you know you can vote for the contestant of your choice by placing a text message. There are some services available on the internet that allow users to send text messages for free of charge, although many plans, mobile plans, force you to pay for text message even if you are receiving them. So typically they cost 5 cents, maybe even 10 cents a message. So that's maybe a consideration for the use of that technology. Now let's move on to my main topic for today, and that is using text messaging, SMS, or other voice technologies to alert large groups of people, namely students on a campus such as ours. Now, of course, the topic on many people's minds this week was the tragedy at Virginia Tech, and an article just appeared on Tuesday in the Chronicle of Higher Education called "New Phone Technologies Can Help Colleges Communicate Campus-Wide in Emergencies." Now, some schools like the City University of New York, the article goes on, is among one of the many institutions that have signed up vendors to provide students with access to campus-related information via cell phone text messages. The service helps keep students abreast of campus events, bulletins, and updates from professors, but it can also serve as a campus-wide public announcement system. And of course, we're thinking of doing this here at Jefferson, and we're beginning to look into some of the options, and I will certainly keep you in the loop and report back to you what we've come up with, but I would certainly love to hear from you if your institution has experience with any of these systems. There are quite a few on the market. And if you look at my show notes, you'll see some of the ones that we're looking at just in a preliminary sense under the heading mobile phone messaging services. And these can be SMS and or voice messaging. Voice messaging, as I'm sure you're familiar with, every time there's a political campaign going on in your neighborhood, I'm sure you get these automated calls, you know, from your state governor or representative. So there are a lot of companies out there that specialize in this, and this could be easily adapted to use as an emergency announcement system. However, in an informal survey done by Deirdre Savarese here, our director of housing, she noted that students were much more likely to respond to a text message during class or even when they're on rounds in the hospital than they would to check a voicemail during those times. You would have to dial in and listen to your voicemail. It's a little bit more time consuming, where you can check a text message much more discreetly. So I think the trend is to rely on text messaging, but maybe have a choice of one or both at the individual level. I list a number of services in my show notes. Again, you can see links to everything I'm talking about in my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. There's a company called Clickatel, Code Red, E2Campus, Group2Call. They apparently specialize in voice and SMS messaging. Some of them are free, like Mobile Campus, and the catch is that you probably have to accept some text messages from local advertisers, which I doubt that we would want, but be interested to hear your experience if you have experience with a company like that. There's OmniLert, there's Rave Wireless, which was mentioned in some of the recent articles I looked at, and Roam Secure is another one. It's been in use for quite some time by Alert Philadelphia, which is a notification system here in the Philadelphia region for police and firemen and first responders. And then there's one that I noticed, there are many, specializes just in voice messaging. The one I mentioned here is called Vontu. So you'll see links to all of those, and check them out if you're interested, and please get back to me if you have any suggestions. The last topic I just want to touch on, again, is related to SMS. One of the new Web 2.0 technologies that's catching on is called Twitter, spelled as it sounds, T-W-I-T-T-E-R. There's a link in my show notes. And they describe themselves as a global community of friends and strangers answering one simple question, quote, "What are you doing?" end quote. So you answer the question on your phone, instant messaging, or on the web. And the way this works is that you would create a group and you could invite friends. If you had a close group of friends or relatives, they could subscribe to your Twitter account. And every time you decided to enter a text message on your phone saying, you know, "I'm going to the pizza store," and it may result in your friends meeting you at the pizza shop. So there have been some blog entries recently on the use of Twitter and related to the Virginia Tech emergency, and someone wondered if such mobile technology would be useful in a situation like that. If a lot of students had Twitter, they could have certainly communicated with themselves, with their Twitter friends, and I'm not sure it's a way to go for a university. It's a free thing, and I'm sure it's going to be linked somehow to advertising or some catch down the line. So we probably want to subscribe to a more commercial, definitive service where there's some real service level agreement between the university and the company to deliver these important emergency messages. So, nonetheless, Twitter is being used in education too. There's a group that's using it to track earthquakes in the United States, and perhaps it can be used for other purposes and even as a part of an emergency alert system. So, anyway, I think that about covers what I wanted to say today. Please stay tuned for the full concerto number 4, the winter concerto from the Four Seasons by Vivaldi. And don't forget to give me feedback. Thanks for listening.
please leave Rod feedback at 610-616-2199.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Please don't forget to leave Rod feedback. You can go to www.rodspulsepodcast.com and leave comments on his blog. You can send feedback to his email address, rod@rodspulsepodcast.com. You can also send audio feedback by calling into his comment line at 610-616-2199. Till next time, have a great week.
The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Merry, and does not represent the official viewpoint of Thomas Jefferson University, or any other institution or company.